civilization as we know it today would be in jeopardy.
This and
the Republicans win the
this and ISIS are threats. This are threatening civilists. This are threatening civilists. This are threatening civilists.
Together.
Radio.
We have audio, but no video.
Radio Free V-Dot.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Readout. This is Radio Free Readout, broadcasting and streaming encouragement, awareness, information. And we are coordinating with Patriots right now, preparing for the times ahead. And we are staying aware in this fight for the Republic, or what's left of it, for the fight for American ideals and values, traditional American values. That's what we care about here. My name is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. If that sounds like I just described you, whether you're across the American Redoubt, the Texas Redoubt, the Adirondack Redoubt, the Appalachian Redoubt, or one of the other many conservative pockets, digging in deep across the Fruited Plains. And for those of you in occupied territory, thank you for tuning in. Be encouraged. You are not alone, despite the fact they want you to feel like you are alone. You are the last freak that cares about traditional American values. But it's not true. It's a lie. Don't listen to it. Thank you guys for tuning in. We have several things we're going to cover. Last night, we had a great time in Colville, Washington. A town of not even 4,000 people turned out a crowd of 150 patriots to listen to a Jordan Page concert. Always a blessing to see him and his family. And so many of you guys, great to be able to meet you face to face, see some of you that I haven't seen for a while. It's just always a blessing. Thank you guys for being there. This was a tribute to the cowboy, Lavoy Finicum, who was killed on 26 February. Jordan Page wrote a song just immediately after he got the news of Lavoy's death. It was a great tribute. It was a non-judgmental approach to, look, whether you think he made a mistake, whether you think he was murdered, whether you think he was, all of that was off the table. It was a very objective approach, headed by a very courageous, patriotic, God-fearing man, County Commissioner Steve Parker, also sponsored by the Cattlemen's Association and others, who wanted to show the character of the man, Lavoy Finicum, and that was truly a man of character. Regardless of whether you agree with the methods that they chose to make their message heard, that was a true American. And we have legitimate concerns about federal government overreach, abuse of power, and threats and coercion against American citizens outside the bounds of the Constitution. Those are very real and legitimate concerns shared by, well, any American who's paying attention. So that was a great time, really good, always good to see them, and you guys that I was able to see again. So let's get into the news and commentary, because there's a lot of stuff that we want to cover. Just revealed this week, the possible extension of the proxy war that's developing between the United States and Russia. The growing military alliance between Russia and Armenia is threatening Turkey, an indispensable U.S. ally, which that's arguable, and a partner in the fight against Islamic State. That's also debatable. The announcement that Russia is sending a new set of fighter jets and combat helicopters to an airbase only 25 miles from the Turkish border is just the latest example of this alliance. The two countries' economics and military ties run deep, bolstered by economic and security agreements and two military bases, including one just outside the Armenian capital. Most significant, Armenia is the only country in the region that shares a border with Turkey and has Russian troops permanently stationed. Although Armenia has welcomed thousands of Russian troops and advanced weaponry, these developments seem to have escaped the notice of U.S. officials who were settling in for the holidays. While Russia and Armenia signed a sweeping air defense agreement 2 days before Christmas, and this is just now coming to light, and that came out in the Washington Post just this week. In national news, Black Lives Matter is outraged. For months, the national chapter of Black Lives Matter has been meeting at the North Branch Library in Nashville, Tennessee, at the exclusion of white people. Library officials had assumed during that their meetings had been made open to the public until one library customer alerted officials of a meeting advertisement indicating that white people were not invited. Library officials then notified the Black Lives Matter group of the public library's policy about meetings, namely that they are to be open to the public and the news media, and the group may not exclude anyone. Well, this news outraged the Black Lives Matter activists. They decided to relocate to a Methodist church nearby where they reiterated that only black or non-black people of color were allowed to participate. They attributed the public library's policy to white supremacy in our local government. That's a quote. And then they had this on their Facebook posting as well, making the same claims. Interesting. That's just the only word that could, well, that's the only word I could say out loud. Court records released on Tuesday show the U.S. Justice Department has, in the last 4 months, sought court orders to force Apple Incorporated to help investigators extract data from 15 iPhones in cases across the country. But what's the FBI's argument? Oh, this is an isolated incident just for this one case. We just want to be able to break into this one iPhone because of the San Bernardino situation, the terrorist attacks. It's just this one time. Well, we've discovered that now it's been 15 times in 4 months. They've tried to break into different cell phones across the country with the help of Apple. Apple is still saying, no way, Jose, walk away. I wanted to remind you guys of something that came out, and I mentioned this actually late summer, fall. But it bears reminding that there was a top 10 fears list that came out. Think of this in the light of the ongoing Apple FBI saga, where they listed in this poll, this was a Gallup poll, for American citizens polled to list their top 10 fears of 2015. What are you the most afraid of? Well, this is very interesting because the following 10 fears for which the highest percentage of Americans reported being afraid or very afraid is something you might want to set up and pay attention to. The number one fear, with 58% of the respondents saying their number one fear, is corruption of government officials, 58% of Americans, followed by a 44.8% second place, cyber terrorism. Next, corporate tracking of personal information. 4, terrorist attacks. 5, government tracking of personal information. 6, bio warfare. 7, identity theft. 8, economic collapse. 9, running out of money in the future. And the number 10 fear was credit card fraud. So our government has earned 2 of the top 5 positions in the top 10 fears list of American citizens. government tracking of personal information, and corruption of government officials. And what else is interesting, and Apple's paying attention to this, corporate tracking of personal information. Apple takes themselves out of the equation. We'll make it so we can't even see your stuff. Your stuff will be so secure. Those top three concerns are all manifested right here in this latest battle between the FBI and Apple to force Apple to break the code to allow them access to their products. So very interesting. Maybe there's a reason why people have those fears. Now, I got a letter also about how Christians, this is a Barna study. They do polls, mostly religious related. How Christianity is increasingly viewed as extreme. It ties in nicely with the podcast. Now, we're going to post this in the highlights and resources posting, along with everything else that we talk about here, with the links that'll take you to this Barna article about this study. Five facts that explain the emerging reality of Americans' perceptions of Christianity being extremist. First, adults and especially non-believers are concerned about religious extremism. These are all broken down. Two, nearly half of non-religious adults perceive Christianity to be extremist. The range of what constitutes extremism is broad, ranging from behaviors that are almost universally condemned to more narrowly defined extremism. And evangelicals stand out from the norm in terms of their attitudes on religious extremism, and they exhibit major differences from the skeptics. So this is interesting. I went into this and I looked, what makes someone a religious extremist? A category one, the extreme of the extreme. 80%+ of all U.S. adults believe this is very or somewhat extreme. Use of religion to justify violence. Well, I mean, in the light of, you know, terrorism, we think, well, yeah, using religion to justify violence, there could be something to that. But the founding fathers, this is where we get into the trouble with getting things universally crossing over. So these godly men decided it was time to fight against a tyrannous government in the name of protecting their faith for freedom of religion, among many things. Did they use their religion to justify violence? Anyone who resists by any means at all that's violent, and you are a Christian, well, you would fall into this category. Generally speaking, we agree that you shouldn't use religion to justify violence. I mean, we think of Islamic terrorists, right? But remember, these are broad definitions of extremism. Refuse standard medical care for their children. That's extreme. And get this, refuse to serve someone because the customer's lifestyle conflicts with their beliefs. So if a homosexual couple wants you to perform services in celebration of their a little arrangement, and you say, I can't go there. That's violates my moral conscience, shocks my conscience, and it goes against my religious beliefs. I can't. Well, that is category one, extremism. Interesting. I'm using interesting a lot. It's a replacement word for what I'm really thinking in my head. Usually considered to be extreme, category two. That's someone who demonstrates outside an organization they consider immoral. Oh, so you're an extremist if you demonstrate across the street from Planned Parenthood. If you preach a religious message in a public place. Boy, that makes all of the disciples extremists and Jesus. Well, he was an extremist. Attempt to convert others to their faith, which is the Great Commission, right? We're supposed to spread the gospel, the good news. Teaching their children that sexual relationships between people of the same sex are morally wrong. That's category two extremism right there. Distribute religious material door to door. Pray out loud in public for a stranger. Wow. believe that sexual relationships between people of the same sex are morally wrong, protest government policies that conflict with their religion. Okay, you have the First Amendment right to speak out. That's fine. But if you do, well, you're a Category 2 extremist. And we got plans for Category 1 and 2 extremists in the future. Because we know that if you're an extremist, you're obviously a member of the Aryan Nations. You're wanting to blow something up. You're just violent and must be dealt with. The FBI, switching stories here. This was posted over at PamelaGeller.com. The FBI scrubs any references to Islam from anti-radicalization game. Now, this isn't really a game. I went to the FBI website. I clicked on this. It's a program. It's a new program that they started called Don't Be a Puppet. So it's this virtual basement, dark basement, where, you know, radical extremists would plan their evil. And you navigate your way through this basement. And they got a laptop in one section. They got maps on one corner. They got propaganda. So this is what to look for. A browser-based video game designed to counter recruitment propaganda from violent extremists. After complaints from the Council on American Islamic Relations, however, CARE, the Bureau of FBI has removed and replaced references to Islam and Islamic terrorism on the site. And where they do list, like 9/11, they replace it with some radical Al-Qaeda members. The FBI originally intended to launch the site in November, but progress was stalled by CARE's complaints. At the time, the Islamic lobby complained that the website, which is targeted at young people at risk of extremist recruitment, would lead to the stigmatization and bullying of young Muslims. Even though it's young Muslims that are carrying out jihadi attacks all over the world. CARE also contended that the website should instead focus on right-wing extremists. Well, of course it should. Which they argued were a greater threat to American youth. Just ask Obama. It seems that the FBI has caved to CARE's complaints. The IJ review reports that a number of changes have been made to the game, including the replacement of an Arabic-speaking terrorist recruiting young people for an overseas mission with a Chinese-American animal rights. Oh, they replaced it with a Chinese-American animal rights activist recruiting people for an attack on an animal testing lab. Good, good. Yeah, that's much better. Let's go to other great news. In The American Redoubt, it's a controversial topic that's putting Idaho in the spotlight of a long-running debate. There's a bill being tweaked in the state Senate that would clarify how the Bible could be used in our schools. Public schools are allowed to teach about religion, but it's against the law for them to promote any one faith in particular. Well, Senate Bill 1342 would allow the Bible and other religious texts to be used as a reference to help further educate children in Idaho. Now, this is, who was this? Senator Cheryl Nuxall, strong patriot. She's in our camp. She's a great, great woman. She helped with the help of others. She drafted the bill. And this is the attorney, Chris Troupas, talking, saying this is just adds clarification. He said, the purpose of the bill was to clarify that the Bible can be used. After concerns were raised in the Senate State Affairs Committee, the bill was amended to say religious texts, including the Bible, can be used if presented objectively to further the study of a variety of school subjects. Of course, opponents are saying the Bible has no place in there, only Muslim material. Does it? Does the Bible have a place in our public schools? Well, if you go back to our heritage, Fisher Ames, he was the author of the final wording of the First Amendment. He wrote, "Why should not the Bible regain the place it once held as a schoolbook? Its morals are pure, its examples captivating and noble. The reference for the sacred book that is thus early impressed lasts long, and probably if not impressed in infancy, never takes firm hold of the mind. Basically saying we have to have the Bible at an early age. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "The only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be aid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty, and liberty is the object and life of all republican governments. Without religion, I believe that learning does real mischief to the morals and principles of mankind." And finally, John Jay, the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, said, "The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts." I agree, and maybe after the reset, we can implement this. Here's the problem. Why would we entrust a godless, corrupt system that is advancing immorality to have their hands on the Bible as a reference material in our public schools? Our public schools are thoroughly corrupt. They are the system used to destroy the republic and our values and our heritage. Look at the numbers of the youth supporting a socialist, proud, self-described socialist Bernie Sanders. And who is his largest base? The American youth. Why? Because he supports the workers, the little guys. Socialism is not a bad word to an alarming number of the youth, the next generation in our country. That's a problem. And they're becoming teachers. They are the products of this indoctrination system. If I had my way, we would completely shut it down. We would shutter the public school systems. But since we can't, what can we do? What can you do? You can remove your children, their minds, their souls, from being exposed to that indoctrination system. I believe in the intent, the pure intent of those across the country and in Idaho, like Senator Cheryl Nuxall, is to find a place for the Bible in our schools once again. But one of the worst things that you could do is put the Bible in the hands of a God-hating professor standing in front of Christian students. Especially today, when the children aren't prepared for that type of battle. They're not. We're not preparing them like we should be. Now, next week, because we're talking about this, I'm going to cover something based on some letters that I've gotten from folks that said, you know, when I try to discuss preparedness with other Christians, their response is Luke 12:22, which is when Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will eat." Or they will say, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So they are using these scriptures to convince other believers they should do nothing. In fact, they are living in fear if they prepare. And Jesus said not to worry about what you're going to eat and what clothes you're going to wear, because he would provide all that for you. So you're being disobedient and you're responding out of fear as your motivator for preparedness. Now, that's the furthest thing from the truth. For me, I don't fear, but I prepare. I don't worry about what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to put on my body. So he wasn't addressing, he wasn't talking against going shopping for clothes. He was talking against worrying about it. They missed the point. He was talking about fear and worry. So I'm going to address that because this is really important, and it's instilling confusion And I am going to prayerfully approach that topic and be doing additional research. I want to present it in a wise, sound way that will help unconfuse some of us that are hearing this from other Christians that think you shouldn't prepare because you're living in fear and you're worrying when we don't worry. We shouldn't. You better not be worrying. You shouldn't be worrying about it. You should be doing it. But if you're driven by fear or worry, well, your head and your heart's in the wrong place. Fox 519 is feeling under the weather. So we are going to re-air his last week's Eye on the Economy, in case you missed it. And then we come back. We're going to talk about some other resources for our American heritage. And we'll be back in a minute. This is Radio Free Readout.
Hey, everyone. This is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Readout and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
Well, are the banks beginning to run for the exits? Well, it sure seems that way. In the past week, I have had several reports from local Wells Fargo employees that they're doing emergency drills with inside the bank. I've also had several large banks, including the former mentioned bank, all trying to sell oil and other types of CLOs for pennies on the dollar, and now the Fed is starting to act very strangely about the status of the economy. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back, and again, thank you to our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Pick up your roasted or unroasted beans today. Now, on to the news. Banks are running for the exit. How do I know? Well, because energy analyst James Wicklin over at Credit Suisse is saying that, quote, while your borrowing base might be upheld, there will be a minimum liquidity requirement before capital can be accessed. What does that mean? He's talking to banks that borrow from them. Now, he also finalized his statement this week with, quote, we are looking to save ourselves now. Now, that memo was sent out this week to investors of Credit Suisse and other banks that borrow from them as well. Wicklin used his platform to show that all banks are posturing and having attempts to preserve calm in the market. But what is really happening below the surface can be summarized in one word: panic. Now, the panic now isn't for just banks who are stuck holding on to energy loans or energy companies who are facing bankruptcy if the oil doesn't rebound. Now, that's because lots and lots of banks loan money on equipment that's out there for oil, but now can't get that back because those companies aren't making any money. Now, this also goes, as far as this warning, for the former employees of those. Curious the average hourly earnings, how they refuse to go up after getting boosts for minimum wage across the country? That's because, according to Credit Suisse, that it's, quote, estimated that 250,000 people have lost their jobs in the oil industry in the last 18 months. Do you still think that we are gaining jobs in America? No, we are not. This is the beginning of another downturn in the economy. Now we will have to face another 250,000 people being added to the throngs of people already out of the workforce. But with 95 million people out of work, any jobs that the government touts has created in the past year have effectively been wiped out as more and more of these oil industry folks are going to get laid off or fired. These folks are going to do whatever it takes to pay the bills. They will take the part-time restaurant jobs. They will take the part-time bartender jobs. But it's not going to be enough. In other world news tonight, the Federal Reserve has finally taken notice that things are starting to look very concerning. In the most recent Fed meeting minutes, the Federal Reserve policymakers debated the outlook for interest rates last month and expressed concern that the fall of the commodity prices and the rout in the financial markets increasingly posed risk to the U.S. economy. Here is their official statement from their websites. Quote, participants judge that the overall implications of these developments for the outlook of domestic economic activity was unclear, but they agreed that uncertainty had increased. And that was according to the meeting minutes, of the Fed's Open Market Committee that took place January 26th and 27th. As a final thought on this, quote, many of these developments increasing the downsides of risk to outlook. A lot of fancy speak there, everyone. Basically, it means the Fed is very, very concerned. Now, the policymakers who projected in December that they'd raise interest rates four times this year are now grappling with the fallout of market turbulence all around. And this is couched out over the economic outlook globally. Fed Chair Janet Yellen suggested in the congressional testimony last week that the central bank could delay its plans for tighter policy to assess how the economy reacts to the current headwinds. I'm going to tell you this. There are no headwinds. Fellow Patriots, QE is going to raise its ugly head again. They are running out of ammo. This time, when the economy constricts, all they're going to do is print more money and pump up the balloon. Now, what else can they do? Bonds are down. Collateralized loans are about to blow up. And now they can't even raise the Fed fund rates to offset their cash flow. Folks, things are going to get very, very close to going sideways again. Are you ready? And I'm going to ask that question again. Are you ready? Have you got your plan in place? How about your team? Is that moving along? Have you diversified your holdings and your finances? Some things to think about as we head into another week. Stay focused, fellow patriots and preppers. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Fox. Hope you're getting better, feeling better. Quite a bit of flu-type stuff going around. So Godspeed to you and your family. Get healthy, get strong, and get back in your groove here as soon as you can. My email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and that's our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're listening to a downloaded copy, audio file, or a CD that somebody gave you, that's where you can go to learn more about what the American Readout is all about. But you're probably getting a pretty good idea if you've been listening just from segment one. Now, I want to remind you that, first of all, segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you that are looking to strategically relocate to the panhandle of North Idaho, up toward the northern couple of counties there, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is a Patriot-owned business that do a really good job of helping many people get strategically relocated. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. You can also click on the link that we have on the page. Cascadia Rising is coming up. That is going to be our T-Rex 2016 exercise. That is in June 10th through the 12th. That overlaps by one day because Cascadia Rising is going to be a massive a disaster training exercise, multiple agencies, multiple jurisdictions, and that will be running from the 7th through the 10th. And that is a major earthquake type of disaster scenario preparedness. So we are going to be running our disaster communications exercise on the 10th, the last day of Cascadia Rising, through the 12th. And we'll be adding a lot more there. So we want to be helpful in times of crisis, in times of need, because earthquakes really do happen and they bring a lot of devastation. So as communications experts, at least if you're involved in AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network, we train to be there for our fellow countrymen in times of need, just in case. As long as there's no disasters, we have fun just tinkering with our gear and with our radios and building relationships. And it's a great hobby, but it is also something that's in place to help people in times of need. And we practice regularly, but once a year we do a T-Rex exercise, and that is designed to really push us to the limit to be able to communicate across the country and across our states, our regions, and our communities, just in case that's ever needed in the future when we have a grid down, communications down type situation. I also made about a minute and a half, minute and 40 second, kind of a little teaser promo video to let you know that T-Rex 2016, to mark your calendars. That's basically the purpose of that video, was to tell you to mark your calendars, put in for your time off, make arrangements in your schedule, whatever you got to do to make sure that you are available for that training. The more people participate, the better off we'll all be. Now, I got a letter this week, and it was a great reminder to go back and revisit some things that I've talked about in the past and sprinkled all around over the last, year and a half, covering different resources and sharing those with you. But there is something that is important for us because we have to have knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's first. Don't fear the world. Don't fear what's going on out there. And I'm going to talk about that next week. Fear the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hosea 4, 6 through 7 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. How's that? Let that sink in. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. We've got problems with our children in this country. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. Are we seeing the glory of this nation turn to shame? Well, that's because we lack knowledge. And we need to learn our heritage. He writes, it's crazy how two people are so blinded to the truth. When I ask if God blesses nations, a friend in seminary told me he'd have to look to see how blessings work. He doesn't have a clue. He also says it seems like small group ideas are good to indirectly provide civics training, and that would be great. Get together for dinner and movies. And what he's talking about is some of the resources that I've covered in the past. And Poly01, codename Poly01, if you could please get these links pulled up and let's set up a separate posting. We'll title it Knowledge of Our Faith and Heritage. And we'll put all these resources in there for you guys. Embed the videos. We'll have links to the articles. But first of all, there's a video called America, Where Would the World Be Without Her? Very impactful. We'll get that link and we'll get that embedded and we'll set up a posting. The other one is a documentary by actor Kirk Cameron. It's called Monumental. This is a forgotten monument and it is the path back to restoring America. It is the pillar upon which America was built. And there is an actual monument. Faith, liberty, justice, all of the formula for the success of our nation are built into this monument, which is largely gone forgotten. And it's brought back to life and brought back to awareness. I was not even aware of it. It's called Monumental. Watch it with your family. It should be in your library and shared with others. Matter of fact, my goal, I have often thought about this, in the American Redoubt, and not a place that will be forgotten, but some place that's prominently placed, is a replica of that monument that's covered in Kirk Cameron's documentary, Monumental. That's going in the American Redoubt. It should be guarded, like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, as a symbol of guarding these principles so we won't repeat this. It needs to be reiterated for the next generations. Another one is a great movie called God's Not Dead, especially in light of this onslaught that our children are facing in our institutions of higher indoctrination. The acting is not the best, but the message is super powerful. It's a good movie. It's good. The fourth one, The Truth Project from Focus on the Family. For equipping and preparing yourselves to always be prepared to give an answer, to be ready, to be informed, to seek knowledge, to learn our heritage. He also recommends, and I agree, following that up with the John Birch videos that I asked you guys to watch earlier this last fall, going into approaching the holidays. He writes, they were great, but the number of views is dismal. Plug them again. The part about being endowed by our Creator really struck me. No Creator, no unalienable rights or unalienable rights. So I want to point you guys back to that. And that's going to go in this posting, Knowledge of Our Faith and Heritage. And we'll keep adding to it and then I'll refer to it periodically. An overview of the America documentary series is a posting in Radio Free Readout. You can just go up in the search box and type in Overview of America from the John Birch Society. It's a video series. I think it's 6 parts. The other one is The Constitution is the Solution. Another one that we embedded in a posting on Radio Free Readout. Another mandatory watch would be The Cost of Liberty by Pastor Jack Hibbs. And then, well, many of his videos are just excellent, excellent. He's in occupied territory too, in California. Great pastor, patriot. The Cost of Liberty was the name of the video that I had recommended strongly. The other two resources I want to point you to, because they continuously inculcate those founding values and interweave that with history and documents that support where our founding fathers stood and the foundation of their educations, of their mindset, what influenced them. That's at Wall Builders and Chris Ann Hall at Liberty First. We'll have links there. Of course, we play their podcast, Wall Builders and Chris Ann Hall, right before Radio Free Readout comes on every Sunday. So that was a great letter to remind me to put that up there to remind you regularly. We have to prepare ourselves, and we have to be educated. We have to re-engage our heritage because it's slipping away. And we're going to take a break, but he finishes up with, they're moving to the American Redoubt. They're excited and going to be putting their house on the market. So welcome yet another family to the American Redoubt. Always welcoming patriots. Enemies of America can turn right back around and go back the other way. He writes, it would be nice to know the artists or tunes that you use for bumper music. That is a hard one because I get sent stuff that I'm like, man, I really like that. And I don't even know what it is. It just sounds really cool. Some of it's just little snips, pieces that I've taken off, you know, a YouTube channel that I watched a video and they had really cool music. And, just have a little like 20 or 30 second, you know, snippet of it. And, you know, they don't list it. I don't know what it is. And some of it I do. So it's hard to, I really don't have like an inventory list with, you know, names, artists, tunes and stuff like that. Cause I know a lot of people are like, I want to go find that. Where can I listen to more of that artist? Some of them I do, but, most of them I don't. So sorry about that. Maybe I'll try to get better about trying to like document that so I can pass that on to you guys. Anyway, with that, we're going to take a break, play some really cool music on the way out, and then we'll be back with segment 3 in just a couple minutes. Stand by.
Matt Shea with your daily news commentary. The way I see it, what is a rhino? Well, in modern political terms, it means Republican in name only. But in truth, both parties have them. They're opportunists, and they are everywhere. And now that the general election is 6 weeks away, it's good to know who's who. An opportunist is a person who is beholden to compromise and not principle, who says one thing but does another. It's a person who won't take a pledge in writing because they say it's a gimmick. It's a person who campaigns on pro-business conservatism, but behind the scenes takes thousands from the pro-gas tax lobby and labor unions, including SEIU, who championed Obamacare. It's a person who says they're out to help every man, but can only do so by raising taxes. My opponent is one of those people. Over the past 6 years in Olympia, I've done what I said I was going to do, and that's make lower taxes, less government, and more freedom a reality in Olympia. Actions speak louder than words. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Look Matt Shea Republican.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Here we are with segment three, brought to you by Katie Armour. And there's a special announcement there. They are an American Redoubt-based business, Patriot-owned business. Christian Patriots, great people, and they make top-of-the-line body armor. Come and take it, Katie Armour. And they have the front plates, side plates, back plates, plate carriers. They've got soft armor. But check this out. They've got an end-of-February sale at Katie Armour that I just found out about. Type in the coupon code FLASH15, FLASH15, for a 15% discount store-wide on anything in their store, and they have free shipping on all their stuff. That's only good through Monday night. That's tomorrow night, December 29th. This is a leap year. December? Did I just say December? February 29th, tomorrow night, Monday night. It's a leap year. And as long as you get that in by Monday night, midnight, American Redoubt time, Pacific time, you'll get a 15% discount. Just use the words FLASH15, FLASH15. Tomorrow night, also tomorrow night, 6:45 p.m. Pacific in the Spokane Valley at La Belle Vie. They have an event center there where Pastor Sharam Hadian is going to be putting on a presentation called Unveiling the True Face of Islam. If you are in the area, if you're within an hour's drive, 90 minutes drive, it will be worth it. And this is being put on by the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans. They are sponsoring this event, bringing in Pastor Hadian for Unveiling the True Face of Islam. And we'll have that link available to you. It's also, I think we got that posted on our Facebook page. I will not be able to be there in attendance. Well worth the drive, but I have a scheduling conflict that I will not be able to attend. Now, last week, I started talking about, well, several things. I've been talking about analysis of internal conflict and development of resistance forces. Now, remember, some of this is geared toward guerrilla warfare and overthrowing a government or basically resisting any type of oppressor. It could be a foreign invading military that's taken hold and that's taken root. It reminds me of a movie that I saw called Dragon Day. And that's where the Chinese had been embedding over the years these little control switches within the firmware of all the electronics that we buy from them. So in an instant, they flip the switch and kill all of our electronics that are Japanese or Chinese made and hurl us into basically it's almost like an EMP effect. So the Chinese hit U.S. soil. They start taking operational control of large areas of the United States and incorporating the local government, soliciting local government, the sheriff and people like that, to help them using local government officials to implement the invader Chinese governing policies, forcing several people to, join the resistance. Now, what would happen in the future if China invaded and they coerce some members that are in our government to aid them in oppressing American citizens? We would be morally obligated, at the very least, to resist such a regime. So let's use that as our scenario. Now, we were talking about the guerrilla force. It would require guerrilla-type operations. The guerrilla force is the easiest one to quickly train people up or people that are already trained in this. I mean, we've got so many veterans. There's so many former military guys. Look, there is so much out there that quickly putting together a battalion size element of people that know how to carry out an ambush or a raid would be so simple. And we are going to talk about the tactics at some point in the future. But I was talking to somebody else. They were trying to get an Amron Corps operator to assist with something because they wanted, somebody for a security element that's, you know, security minded and that can operate a gun. I said, hold on, you're tying up an Amron Corps operator, a rare commodity that can't be used in, you know, for other things. I mean, think about this. If you want somebody who can provide communication support when you can't afford not to have comms, then you take an Amron Corps operator. If you need a shooter, look, shooters, trigger pullers are a dime a dozen. You cannot replace an Amron Corps operator as easily, right? So when it comes to guerrilla stuff, look, you can find and train shooters. A dime a dozen. But some of these important skill sets, like a doctor, you can't just throw a course together and get somebody spun up in a, you know, abbreviated 10-day version of boot camp and get them, you know, whipped into shape. It's like years of skills and experience that are gained. So this is going to be oriented toward the auxiliary, some of which are going to be much harder commodities to replace. And this is what, let's just say this, the more advanced planning and training and thought that goes into the underground and the auxiliary, the more effective they will be in supporting the guerrilla or the resistance, the military arm of a resistance, like if the Chinese invaded and we were forced to fight for our country again. So let's talk about the auxiliary. Well, there's the auxiliary and the underground. Okay, and this is from my subcourse, SF0702, Development of Resistance Forces. So let me go through this. Let's talk about the auxiliary. Resistance members includes persons whose principal function is to conduct operations against the enemy and persons who support the operational elements. So we're talking directly to the support elements. Here, we're primarily concerned with this auxiliary, the internal support element of the resistance movement. That's you guys out in the audience. That's 90% of you probably would fit into this role. And there's a lot of shooters, a lot of guns out there. I mean, people that can run guns and they have mastered tactics. You guys can train other people to do that, and you should. But I want to talk to the people who categorically deny that they could ever carry out that young man type of stuff, activity, running through the woods, carrying out ambushes, carrying out military operations. Those days are over for me, right? That's probably a huge portion of this listening audience. I don't want you to check out and think, well, it would have been nice to be part of that, but I can't do that anymore. I'm not a young man. Stop right there. There's a place for everyone. I've said that before. Its organization and operation are clandestine in nature, and its members do not openly indicate their sympathy or involvement with the resistance movement. This is important. There's a reason for that. Don't call people cowards because they didn't show up to that rally. All right, there's a place for everyone, and there's a role for everyone. Some people have to be out front, open, their face is exposed, whatever. And there's other people who that is not their role. In fact, that would be detrimental to their role if they took on that role. There is multiple different roles and different callings for people. Its organization and operation are clandestine in nature. Its members do not openly indicate their sympathy. I already went through that. The auxiliary's primary mission is to provide support for the guerrilla force by organizing civilian supporters of the resistance movement. Clandestine support functions can be organized on a regional, district, or sector basis, depending on the degree to which guerrilla units are organized. All functions should be compartmented from each other as well as from the guerrilla unit or group of units that they support. Compartmented means you have a small task. That's what you focus on. You don't have the big picture. You don't need the big picture. It would be a security risk if you knew more than what you were operating on just in this compartment, just like it would be detrimental to the overall cause if everyone else knew what you were doing in your lane. Everybody stays in their own lane, and not everybody shares all of the information with everyone. This is called compartmentalization. So all functions should be compartmented from each other, as well as from the guerrilla unit or groups that you're supporting. Support functions needed by guerrilla unit to supplement its capabilities are air or maritime reception report. If you have aircraft or boats that are moving supplies or people, you need to have reception parties. This is with that posting that I put up, Viola Sabo, the group that she was with, the partisans in France that she linked up with, one of their primary duties was to act as reception parties for supply drops or people drops. And of course, that can apply to anything, boats going up rivers, air, or even vehicles. Systems for internal acquisition of supplies. Supplies are going to be needed. A lot of people out there with connections. You're going to need to know how to get your hands on supplies and get them delivered in a secure way. Systems for the acquisition of operational information and intelligence. Sam Culper is coming to the American Redoubt on March 12th to teach an intelligence course. I highly recommend someone, at least two people, start thinking about acquiring the very valuable and rare skill of analyzing, collecting intelligence, and heading up the intelligence effort in your group, in your community. And we'll talk more about that in the future. Medical facilities for hospitalization, treatment, and rehabilitation of sick and wounded. Begin putting together medical teams with a doctor, with a paramedic, with the nurse, with the EMTs. And then where you're short, where you have shortcomings, fill those by training people at the very least to get their EMTs. Take some courses, take some formal courses on combat medicine. Counterintelligence systems to counter enemy penetration attempts and provide external and internal security. Your other roles are systems and procedures for recruitment of personnel. That includes vetting, because infiltration is going to be a huge problem. That's why right now, while that's a minimal risk, you should be expanding your networks carefully, judiciously, also with an increased tempo. Because the more you do that now before an enemy, you're faced with an enemy on your streets, it's going to be much harder then. Compartmented communications systems for various support functions. Remember, we have an AMRON network. That's for citizens to share information during a disaster. But also, I've said this many times, compartmentalization is key. Each group should have its own organic communications plan separate from AMRON. So if you get infiltrated, the rest of AMRON doesn't get compromised. Or if AMRON becomes compromised, you, being compartmented, are not. You can still continue to function. AMRON is your link to the rest of the world, to the rest of the network, to the rest of the bigger picture. Manufacturing and maintenance of equipment. Who do you know that can do fabrication? And can you do fabrication, welding? Start thinking about your role as the auxiliary, producing some little widget that will be valuable in the future. Transportation systems, especially those that work in the transportation industry, whether you're a driver, a bus driver, a truck driver, a courier, something like that. You could be used for as a courier for information, for supplies, for people potentially. But you have legitimate cover. There's a reason for you to be out on the road. Because that's what you do for a living. So we'll talk about more about that stuff in the future. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back. What am I going to talk about next when we come back? Considerations in establishing support functions and systems. When we come back at Radio Free Redoubt.
Forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
This is the final and fourth segment brought to you by Works Holsters. Go to works.com, W-E-R-K-Z, an American Redoubt owned and operated business making custom Kydex holsters, mag pouches, with a less than 2 week lead time. And they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Get a discount on your next order also by using coupon code RFR. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR at Works, W-E-R-K-Z.com. Now we're going to continue reading because there's some other things that I wanted to cover from a different section in subcourse SF0702 on development of resistance forces. And we're talking about the scenario where the Chinese invade. We have people, even some within our own government, capitulating with the enemy, helping them to manage these local communities. We as citizens understand, well, we're under attack. We need to resist this evil system that is hauling people off and executing people and using threats and coercion and disappearing people, renditioning people, never to be seen again by this communist invader. So that's our hypothetical scenario. We're going to talk about considerations in establishing support functions and systems. There's a role for everyone. The support missions, because that's what we're talking about in this episode, support missions, those discussed are the principal ones performed by auxiliary forces to support the area command. I'm talking about the resistance command. Some of these tasks are coordinated directly with guerrilla units, and others are controlled by their own, I guess, headquarters. And remember, this should be as decentralized as possible, but you should still have an area command driving the overall mission, the big picture. Normally, auxiliary units are assigned direct support missions for guerrilla units in their areas. Some of those might be security and warning. Auxiliary units provide a physical security and warning system for guerrilla forces. They organize extensive systems of civilian sympathizers who keep enemy forces under surveillance and provide early warnings of enemy movements. These civilians are selected because of their advantageous location, which permits them to monitor the enemy. Think about what I just said. Does this sound like a role that you might fit into one day? Or did someone just come to mind because they live in that house up on the side of the hill that overlooks the highway and where these two highways merge together. Could they observe, provide security and warning? Intelligence. Auxiliary units collect information to support their own operations and those of the area command. They will put out, and you'll learn this when you get into your intelligence process, at least for your ACE, your analysis and control element and collection element. That's your S2, SHOP 2, your intel guys. You're going to be given many times what are called PIRs or priority intelligence requirements, or CIR, the commander's intelligence requirements. So this is what he's saying. I need to know this. This is critical, super important at the top of your list. All right. The other stuff's peripheral, but this is what I really, really need to know. Those would be called PIRs or CIRs. Counterintelligence. The auxiliary assists the area command counterintelligence efforts by maintaining watch over transitory civilians, by screening recruits for guerrilla units or resistance units, and by monitoring refugees and other non-inhabitants of the area. Because of their intimate knowledge of local people, auxiliaries should be able to report attempts by enemy agents to infiltrate the area. They can also name those inhabitants whose loyalty to the resistance might be suspect. And this is what you should be already in your area, keeping that naughty and nice list that I was telling you about. There are people in your community that are nice. They are patriots. They support freedom and they support liberty. There are those who loathe and despise patriots, and they should already be on your naughty list. Those that you know to avoid because they will turn you over to the enemy at the first opportunity, just out of spite, if nothing else. Logistics is the next category. The auxiliary supports guerrillas in all phases of logistical operations. They provide transportation and or porters for the movement of supplies and equipment. Auxiliaries often care for the sick and wounded, provide medical supplies, and arrange for doctors and other medical personnel. They collect food, clothing, and other supplies through a controlled system of levy, barter, or contribution. Sometimes auxiliaries provide essential services such as repair of clothing, shoes, and certain items of equipment. Remember, this is oriented toward Special Forces Detachment training to go into developing countries. So some of the other tasks in this area could be, you know, vehicle maintenance. It could be weapons maintenance. It could be, you know, a number of different logistical support. You might have a radio. Who could you take your radio to if something happened where something went out in your radio? Is there somebody that knows electronics in your area that you could start to develop a relationship with that would be helpful? Sometimes auxiliaries provide essential services such as repair of clothing, shoes. Okay. As auxiliaries also furnish personnel to assist at reception sites. They did distribute supplies throughout the area. The extent of logistical support furnished by the auxiliary depends upon the resources of the area, the degree of influence it exerts on the population, and enemy activities. Next category, recruiting. Guerrilla units depend on the local population for recruits to replace operational losses and to expand their forces. Auxiliaries spot, screen, or we use the common term vet, to vet and recruit personnel for active resistance units. If recruits are provided from reliable auxiliary sources, the enemy's chances for placing agents in the resistance force are greatly reduced. Next category for auxiliary units is psychological warfare. An important mission in which the auxiliary units assist in psychological warfare is the spreading of rumors, leaflets, posters, and time that with resistance tactical missions to deceive the enemy. Leaflets can mislead the enemy regarding guerrilla or resistance intentions, capabilities, and location. The spreading of this propaganda is very difficult for the enemy to control. Now, today we have social media. We can, like a brush fire, we can send messages, messaging to mislead. But there's going to come a time when that will be very tightly controlled, if not shut down altogether. Although, as long as it's a useful intelligence gathering tool for them in the OSINT, that's open source intelligence category, they will leave it open. They will not disrupt it, much like they did in Oregon. Some of the most valuable, dreamed of real-time intelligence was put out for the FBI by those people on the ground. In the future, when the Chinese come rolling in and occupy America, they will be using social media as long as it's advantageous. As soon as they catch on that you're using this for psychological warfare operations, misinformation, or counterintelligence, they'll just start shutting it down. Or they'll use it to track you, and they'll track you down. As soon as you get on the internet, they're going to be nailing you, whether it's at the library or wherever. Civilian control. To control the population and give the enemy an impression of guerrilla power. Auxiliary units establish a legal control system to assist in preventing black marketing and profiteering. Collaborators may be terrorized or punished by the auxiliaries. That's textbook answer. You'd have to use your own wisdom and discernment on how to apply civilian control. But the other part that I didn't get to yet was the, I guess, how hugely important it is that you do have civilian control, because a resistance movement cannot survive without the popular control of the civilian populace. And we'll talk about that too. We do a pretty good job of that, but we also blow it oftentimes. Just like in Oregon, from that perspective, from a very objective, sterile approach to looking at how we affect the general populace, in Oregon, the general populace was infuriated over the Hammonds going back to prison. They began learning about this, and then as soon as they took over the wildlife refuge, all the focus shifted on this group of armed vagabonds taking over a wildlife refuge. And the main focus of the government's overreach was starting to get lost in that. And then, of course, after Lavoie was shot, everything was about the armed resistance is over. They're all arrested. And it's been a lot of behind-the-scenes efforts by the Patriot organizations to get the focus shifted back to the overreach and unconstitutional actions of the federal government. So trying to pull that back on. Anyway, that's what these guys should be working toward. Evasion and escape. Auxiliary units are ideally suited for the support of evasion and escape mechanisms. Their contact with and control over segments of the civilian population provide the area command with the means of assisting evaders in recovering high-value personnel. Other missions could include auxiliary units, which may be called upon to perform a number of other resistance support missions, such as conducting coordinated actions with the guerrillas against other targets, such as cutting telephone lines between enemy installations, taking out a cell phone tower, cutting fiber optic cables, things of this sort, putting counter mobility devices, that means blocking roads. They can also act as reserve forces prior to a guerrilla attack. They can be used for furnishing guides, operating courier systems, which I've talked about before, conducting active guerrilla-type operations on a part-time basis, and then finally, raising funds, because that will be extremely important. Do you know of somebody who you could put a team together with and start developing an underground hospital, just in case it's ever needed? Just to start discussing what would happen if the Lord took his hand of protection off of America, allowed our enemies to overtake us, and we were faced with Chinese troops on our land, forced to defend our homeland using guerrilla warfare tactics. If that happened, well, could you start thinking about that now and start thinking about people that you would talk to about forming an underground hospital and support system? And we're just using the Chinese example as just a hypothetical example. It's like anything could happen in this country, but that's a pretty good scenario to go with, right? And that's pretty much it. That's a wrap for this week. So I'm going to let you guys go. I want you to have a blessed week. I will be producing a partisan radio episode tomorrow. I got derailed last week. And, well, I try to put one of those out every week, but it usually ends up being like once every other week. Depends on what's going on behind the scenes. And when I can, I do. So thank you guys for working so diligently getting your comms up. Now go prayerfully find your role in the coming resistance, the coming underground. Because, hey, that's how God dealt with his people, right? The enemies came in. He always protected a remnant. So we don't know what he's got in mind. But make sure that you don't do it out of fear. You do it out of a sense of duty and obligation, and only if you are called to it. And you'll know if you are or not. It's not for everyone. There's a role for everyone in the kingdom. So don't admonish other people because their role isn't yours. But don't let them admonish you because their role isn't yours. Does that make sense? You do what you're called to do. Just make sure you do it prayerfully. That's all I got, guys. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. You have a blessed week. Good night.